It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about the myths and realities of domestic violence with Patty Seeger, the executive director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. We are also taking your calls. Do you work in law enforcement or medicine? Are you a teacher or a mandatory reporter? What have you seen? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. We have a few phone calls, but I want to talk to you, Patty, about this, the flashpoints we were talking about. One of the flashpoints, one of the biggest flashpoints, is the victim leaving. That enrages the abuser. So what do we do? You know, we want to get the victim to safety, and we know that that's going to be a huge trigger.
One of the things that we know after all of our years of research and many, you know, more than 40 years of folks working on domestic violence intervention is that the best predictor of the best knower of future violence is going to be the victim themselves. Mm-hmm. So while a lot of times the public thinks, why doesn't the victim just leave the situation? Many victims know that that leaving point is a flashpoint and want to be very planful about when they decide to do it and want to be working with others. They want to have a plan about where they're going to go that they feel is safe. So it's super important for us. Perpetrators, obviously, this is a crime on an individual basis that's really about control, right? Coercive control of another human being. And if the victim is threatening to leave or says that he or she is leaving and they do leave, that is a flashpoint because that's a point at which the perpetrator has lost control.
So interestingly to me that we, our Justice Department, pretty much tampered down organized crime by passing RICO laws, right? If you are, you don't have to be convicted of killing someone. You have to be convicted of a conspiracy of doing lots of things. Mm-hmm. We know when domestic abusers are ramping up. We know that when they're getting more violent, they show signs that are very clear and very uniform, strangely enough. Can we pass laws that can catch them before they get violent, send them to treatment, or send them to jail? How do we do this?
I don't know that we can pass those laws, and I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not constitutional expert by any means, but I will.
But I mean, is that what you would like to see? I guess that's my thing.
I would like us to see a lot more focus on perpetrators that focus on what got them there in the first place, right? There is not a single perpetrator, and it took me a long time to get to this place. I will say I've been an advocate for more than 35 years in Wisconsin. It took me a long time to get to the place where I had to acknowledge that hurt people, and that the reason that perpetrators are causing this violence is that there were things in their life that made them into the person who they are.
So is there a way to get to them early? You know, I mean, we kind of see these patterns where a perpetrator will abuse somebody in high school, and then the next relationship they'll be even more abusive and on. Is there a way to get them early and get treatment?
What we would hope is that there would be interventions along the way. What we know, unfortunately, is domestic violence still is a very secretive private matter. Mm. When we're talking about teen dating violence, only 1 in 7 teens ever tell an adult that they're being in an abusive relationship. I know parents would like to believe their kids would tell them, but they actually don't. They may confide to a peer. So that's really where it starts, right? When people just first start those relationships. I do want to put in a quick plug that by the end of the month, we at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin are releasing a statewide campaign aimed at targeting information about teen dating violence called Dare to Know that will be spread statewide starting around the end of this month. And that's going to be our attempt to start engaging teens in those early conversations so we can have interventions earlier.
We are taking phone calls this morning. Heather from Madison, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say thank you for the incorporating those questions into the Wisconsin law enforcement. I was in a relationship for 10 years that was abusive. Finally got the courage to call the police before an attempt one night, and the police berated me to the point of tears because they said I wasted their call because I refused. Basically, they kept asking, are you sure you're okay? That sort of thing. And I, with him standing there, I couldn't be honest or truthful. And I wasn't sure if the police officer was being mean to me in the way that he was, his tone and demeanor and whatnot, to push me psychologically to finally say the truth. Versus just asking those kinds of questions, I would have answered yes to most of them, and I think a different resolution would have happened. But so I just want to say thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm.
And so, and police department, thank you very much, Heather. And police departments are asking these questions around the state.
Well, actually, we have about 20 communities in Wisconsin that are starting. Part of the $500,000 that the Wisconsin Department of Justice has awarded to my organization is that we are hoping to expand, and we really want to make it statewide. It's voluntary right now. Law enforcement and communities have to make a decision that, that what they want to do is start to prevent homicides. Milwaukee County was the first in the state to adopt the lethality assessment protocol. All of their police departments in the county of Milwaukee are on board and using the screen. And Milwaukee, obviously, because it's the population center of the state, has the largest number of domestic violence homicides. So they have a very large investment in wanting to figure out if they can prevent homicides.
And are you training police officers beyond these questions? Are you
right.
training police officers to be better at detecting and dealing with domestic violence?
Yes. Law enforcement, so Wisconsin passed mandatory arrest in 1988. It was implemented in 1989. And so since that time, we've had more than 30 years of training law enforcement. I would love to say that law enforcement would not behave the way that Heather described,
right.
but they're imperfect. They're humans as well. And these are really difficult and complex situations. They're walking into people's homes. We train police officers to separate the victim from the perpetrator. I think that doesn't sound like that happened
yeah.
in Heather's case. But, you know, when they can separate the two parties, obviously it's safer for the victim to express what's actually happening in the relationship.
We have Laura from Grafton. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you definitely for talking about those flashpoints and those warning signs. In my experience, they are right on. I am a survivor of domestic abuse, both as a child and then in my first marriage. My mother is a survivor, but barely. We are coming up on 1 year that she survived an attempted murder on her life before her husband committed suicide. And I would say that the only difference between our situations is that I reached out over and over and over for help until I found help, and then I took that and formulated a plan with help of others and followed a plan to get out. And there was really no other difference, no other difference in education, no other difference in social or economic means, but just getting help and following through. And so I would just say that if there's any people who are able to help, you know, keep your ears open for how you can. If people are in a situation like I've been in or my mother has been in, just don't stop trying, even though it feels like you're never going to get out.
So, Laura, I would like to ask you, what are the barriers? Like you said, you kept trying and kept trying and kept trying. What are the things that we can change? So the outside barriers that stopped you?
Well, there's an incredible amount of control over your relationships outside of yourself. So my first husband, I lost all of my best friends. Mm. I lost contact with my family. And then to the outside world, everything is perfect. There's so much control over the communication that goes out on and what's happening. And then control over my what I did. I was allowed to go to work and come home from work, and that was it. Everything else was tracked. So my way of getting out, I would actually pack documents that I needed to, like, get out to a lawyer in a lunchbox.
Wow.
And sneak them into work and hide them in a locker at work. And, you know, until I could get enough. And when I had time where I wasn't being tracked, I was able to go visit a lawyer or get the help that I needed to, you know, plan for when I was leaving.
Okay, Laura, I'd love to talk to you more, but we've got like a minute or two left, so I appreciate you calling. Travis from Fenimore, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I was just calling to say when I was younger, about 17 or 18, I got with a girl. I liked her for a while. I ended up moving out when I was young because I had problems at home. And I started living with her, and things got bad where I just couldn't be at home anymore. I didn't want to stay there. She would make me stay home all the time. I couldn't go do anything. So I tried to leave one day, and she ended up hitting me over the head with a 10-pound dumbbell.
Ow.
And, it was bad. I ended up lying to the cops because I didn't want her to get in trouble and stuff.
Are you okay now?
No lasting
damage here?
No. I ended up getting a concussion and stuff. I'm fine now. No, I have a new girlfriend and a son. It's okay now, but...
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Travis, for that. This is not just a male perpetrator thing here.
No, what we know from research, the World Health Organization has done extensive research, and what we know is 1 in 3 women and 1 in 7 men will be impacted by domestic violence. So it's super important for us to understand, again, that domestic violence occurs across the gender spectrum. It occurs in all kinds of relationships, regardless of race, gender identity, culture, or religion, that it is a universal crime.
What is the one thing you want to say in the next 30 seconds to somebody who is listening to this program and realizing they're in a relationship that they need to get out of?
The best thing that you can do as a victim is reach out for domestic violence services. They're confidential and they're safe. If you're not ready to contact the police or involve someone else, they are there. There's domestic violence services in all 72 counties in Wisconsin, all 11 tribes. Simply go to our website, www.endabusewi.org, and click on the Get Help button, and that will get you to the closest domestic violence program in your community.
Patty Seeger is the executive director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Thank you, Patty, for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you to the callers who called in. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.